Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day to everyone who is listening. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for taking time out of your Easter Sunday dessert to spend with us here on this broadcast. We have an amazing show lineup for you. I have my honored guest who is hanging out with me in the virtual green room, and we'll be spending the first portion of today's show with one of my returning guests, Miss Veronica Conway. And for the second episode, we're going to be talking about some of the health benefits that you are probably overlooking from a common ingredient that you probably have in your kitchen, or some of you probably have not picked it up off of your grocery stores. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet because I want you to stick around, but I have some pleasant surprise for you. I want to remind those of you who are listening and also to tell your friends to support the breakfast feeding program for the students at the Carmel School in Jamaica, West Indies. You may do so either by calling here on the radio show, 646-915-8166, or you can just go directly to the link, http://www.gofundme.com/4m8. I want to say thanks for the 14 brave souls who have so far donated, and our donations are rising. We are at $507, so I am encouraged that come September we will have enough to launch the breakfast feeding program. So if you find yourself with a dollar, why don't you call four friends up and find out if they have a dollar, and together you all could combine and donate $5. $5 will feed three students breakfast for one day. So why don't you step out and touch somebody's lives? You never know who you're touching. I mean, one of the students who come through that breakfast program might be the next prime minister of the island. One never knows. Let us just do our best. And as always, you can call in to be part of the conversation, 646-915-8166. Our chat room is open, and if you're in the chat room and you have a question, you can type it in the little box below. So right now, I want us to just go ahead and play our theme song.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna need more than just somebody. I want to be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special. 'Cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Veronica Conway, CPCC, often dubbed the secret weapon by her clients. Veronica is an award-winning entrepreneur and founder of three coaching companies, including Black Professional Coaches Alliance, the only coaching organization dedicated to the transformation of people of African descent. Veronica works with business owners, startups, or seasoned executives, world leaders, and other peak performers that want to transform mental, internal barriers that prevent them from realizing their greatest financial and personal potential. She also works with parents and college-bound students who want to obtain high-quality education at the high school and college levels and that want a powerful path for accessing and funding the best education that money can buy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just a portion of the bio for my honored guest. And of course, she's no stranger to you, my listeners here on Blog Talk Radio. So I wanted to take the time to read that for you so you can settle in and listen with intent and get involved. Call on the phone lines and be part of this conversation and pick her brains, because if it's someone's brain you want, it's this amazing lady. Veronica, welcome, and how are you, my sister?
Thank you. Happy Easter, happy resurrection. I am great today.
Happy
it's an honor to be here.
Yes.
I love the work that you're doing to raise money for the children's breakfast. That's something after my own heart. So it's an honor to
Thank
be here with you, and I'm so proud of you and all that you're doing.
Thank you so very much. And I know you are a tightly knit family woman. So for you to take time out of today from your children and to invest in what I'm doing, I honor and applaud you for doing that. So thank you so very much. Yes, we started a conversation on Wednesday, and you are such a mover and a shaker, and you are doing so many amazing things, and you are not one bit perturbed when the time arises and presents itself about dismantling what you're about and doing over, because you know it doesn't matter how many times you're called to start over, each time you evolve with a stronger base. Let us talk about some things that's going on in your life and what you're doing with entrepreneurs and all of the good stuff you're doing.
Yes, okay. Good. Well, you know, as I alluded to, and I'm just going to touch on it briefly because I think that my story is sort of a key to why I do what I do, and I think that for anyone that's listening, their story is really the key to why they do what they do. Mm-hmm. And I just find that if your purpose is informed with who you are, then you really have no competition in the marketplace.
That's right.
Right?
You just have
no competition when you're really coming from your essence. And so part of what I've done, you know, I spent the last 15 years in business and, you know, running the Black Coaches Network and running my own company and raising two children, getting them $1 million in private school education for $25,000 as a single mom. So I was busy, and then I kind of hit the wall, and mm-hmm. And just really wanted to live in my pajamas for about a year a year and a half, and I really insisted on taking a step back. I did not know how I was going to do it, but mm-hmm. I decided to do that. And when you make real decisions, then all the circumstances, the universe conspires to meet your decision. One of the things that I did as I took a step back is I really took a look at my story and the essential nature of my life and why I was doing what I was doing and the essence of what I was doing and got really clear about that, so that as I stepped back out onto the scene, I could do it with more clarity and more purpose and be mm-hmm. more of a servant leader entrepreneur. Because I had the clarity of my purpose even more clearly defined. Because, let's face it, sometimes in the day-to-day of being an entrepreneur, you get caught up in the day-to-day, and you get caught
That's
up in
right.
the demands and the financials and the ups and the downs and all the things that are required to be a viable business owner in this day and age. That can become very consuming. And so I think it's important for us to take a step back and get clear about our essence of mm-hmm. why we do what we do, because that in and of itself is its own signal. It's its own broadcast to the universe. It's its own beacon of light when we have that clarity. My story, as you know, Daphne, begins mm-hmm. back when I was 3 years old. And
mm-hmm.
My mother laid me down in a bathtub, and she didn't lay me down in the bathtub to give me a bath. She laid me down in the bathtub because my parents were going to go into a shootout with people that were outside, and she didn't want me to be hit by gunfire. And if you think about it, a bathtub is really the only safe place in a building when mm-hmm. there's going to be gunfire for a little girl. And mm-hmm. so my parents were the second Civil War in this country happened when the government went to war with black people. And I'm a child of that war. I'm a daughter of that war. My father was a Black Panther. And mm-hmm. so before age 7, I witnessed police shootouts. I attended school under an alias. I experienced death threats against my life. There's so much that happened to me that was very painful and colorful. And my father was arrested and convicted when I was 7. He had a very high-profile civil rights trial here in San Francisco, and he went to prison. But I really saw my father live like a free man, even though he was incarcerated, and I saw so many brothers and sisters walking around living lives of incarceration, even though they were free. And that's when I began to ask the question, what's the difference that makes the difference? Is freedom really a function of your mindset, or is it a function of your circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that freedom is a function of one's mindset, of one's decisions, of one's intent. Yet we are so far removed from freedom because we have been so programmed and conditioned. We've been domesticated. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at a lion on the savannah, she looks very different than the one at the zoo. The one at the zoo is waiting on her next meal. She has a different look in her eyes. She's been domesticated. And when you've been domesticated, that means you've been trained out of your ability to live and function in the wild. You've been trained out of your ability to live and function and thrive in the wild. And I don't know if everyone is paying attention, but it's really a jungle out here for business owners, for people of color. Like, we have to restore the senses, the attitudes, the mindset of our undomesticated selves. We have to have the internal freedom to be able to navigate what is often very dangerous terrain. See, the lioness that's on the savannah, she's very aware. Her senses are very heightened because she knows it's a jungle and there's predators all around. And so she has the awareness. She has a sensitivity. She has the flexibility in her body. She is a machine, and she is aware of her environment. And I think that so many of us have gotten either complacent with what we've experienced in this crumbling economy, or you know, we've become fearful, and we've allowed ourselves to experience a lot of resistance. And that's really the topic of our conversation today is how do you overcome that resistance that exists?
You know, before you continue, I just want to piggyback on some profound statement that you just made, because one of the other things with the lioness is that she doesn't procrastinate when it's time for action.
No, she does not.
Because she's so aware, you know, and she's prepared. So when it's time for action, she takes action. You know?
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Because she has to feed herself, and she has to feed her cubs, and she has to to navigate the wild. And so you're absolutely right. She, you know, they say a panther has, I think, like it has over 800 voluntary muscles that it can move at will. You know, you think about the physiology and just all of those micro refined muscles that you can control. And so we're similar. We are designed similarly, but in so many cases, our muscles have atrophied.
Yes.
Because we have succumbed to the fear and the resistance, and we have succumbed to all kinds of forces.
We mentally paralyze ourselves. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, because I think that to really thrive in life and in business today, we have to undo that domestication. We have to undo the fear that's been trained into us, the training out of our authenticity, the training away from our truth, the training away from our ability to respond and to act and to move with alacrity and with purpose. We've been trained out of that, and we've been because of all the circumstances, all the, you know, the trauma that has happened in since 2008, and since, you know, we've become slow and powerless. So
yes,
I'm really here to talk about how do you restore yourself to power.
You know, we keep giving away our power. Every day we get up, we keep giving it away. And then we sit down and, as you say, we become so complacent, and we begin to point fingers and fight against each other instead of collaborating and see we can begin to gather our strength back. Because unless
Absolutely.
We decide that we are going to connect and collaborate, we are still going to be paralyzed.
Yes. Yes. It is absolutely true. It is absolutely true. And juncture, I don't know if we, you know, I think we get confused, and we think we have the luxury of operating alone. We think we have the luxury of being, you know, moving slow. We think we have the luxury of not being strategic. We think we have the luxury of allowing our senses to be deadened. We don't have that luxury. Anymore,
because you know, as you're right, yeah, you know, it's a luxury and entitlement are what people do. But you know, when did we get there, and how did we get to that place where we sit down and we think it's a luxury, and some of us who reach the plateau before others. I wonder if there's a message that they are sending that a low majority of the people in the community to adopt that mindset. I don't know. When did all this come about and how?
Well, I think if I just look at my own business and the business of my clients, I mean, it really – I think in 2008 we had what I call we had venture failure. In other words, all the institutions that we counted on, the church, the political system, the financial system, all of the institutions that we came to expect to be stable, began to collapse and experience failure. I mean, Lehman Brothers, right? I mean, all the institutional, all the things that we thought we could trust because we were placing our trust in organizations and institutions outside of ourselves, when they began to collapse, our identity began to collapse with it.
Yeah.
And so what I began to see in the aftermath of that is what I call venture trauma, where people's businesses were tanking and they were losing homes and the institutions were crumbling and the Catholic Church, you know, all the pedophilia. I mean, just all these things that we had come to know and trust and depend upon began to crumble right before our eyes. People lost retirements. And so what happens is to the nervous system is that we go into a state of shock. We go into a state of shock and we think because everything that we had placed our faith and identity in, it turns out we're just being run by human beings, in some cases very greedy human beings, some very greedy human beings. And we kind of took a hit to our confidence, and a massive hit. And so that climate of fear created amongst many a tremendous amount of paralysis. I heard a quote once and it said, a recession is simply a transfer of assets from the timid to the bold.
Repeat that.
A recession is a transfer of assets from the timid to the bold.
That is good. So I've never heard that before.
So when they came in and started vacuuming up all of the assets, right, those that were timid went fetal, right? They just kind of curled up into a ball and went fetal. Because if you look at what's happening, just in the whole geopolitical climate, the money went somewhere. I mean, the 1% got crazy wealthy. I mean, it went somewhere. It didn't go nowhere.
There's a lot of money out there. Yep.
Right, there's a lot of money out there, and so
there's a lot of money out there.
So many of us that got hit over the head with that, became very paralyzed. So I think it really shook people pretty hard in 2008, and then people are sort of, finding their way back. But what I'm finding, as I work with entrepreneurs and because my work with entrepreneurs really has to do with the issues of freedom. When I tell my story about my dad, it's really because I think that I have a deep and intimate relationship with the word freedom, and I have a deep and intimate relationship with its opposite, because I grew up around a father that was incarcerated, but even though he was incarcerated, he made a choice for freedom. He made a choice to feel free. And so if you look at his life, he embodies in a certain way a more free mindset than many people that are walking around outside. And so I have a deep intimate relationship with that word. Yeah, and so I look at, where can we have more freedom, whether it be financial freedom, whether it be freedom in our business, whether it be freedom to educate our kids the way that we want to, what are the choices that we actually have? And so when I work with business owners, it is typically around their inner game, because I find that when the inner game gets clarified and shored up and deconstructed around any of the negativity and limitation, when that happens, then they are freed up. They have the freedom to move in ways that are powerful. The last frontier is no longer technology. That used to be the last frontier. But technology has really flattened. It's become more accessible. It's become a commodity. The same is true for information, in the information market. That was going to be the last frontier. And that's flattened. That's become more accessible. Everybody has more access to information. There's no shortage of information out here. In fact, we're in a glut of information. I think they say now that the amount of information in the world doubles every 5 years. It used to double every couple of hundred years, but it's accelerating. And there's no lack of information and there's no lack of access to technology. What's true now is that the mind is the last frontier. When you're talking about creating performance in life and business, the mind is the last frontier. It's the last thing that people have to deeply conquer to have a competitive advantage. And if we don't conquer that, then we're left with things that are really accessible to everybody. I mean, any person in India can open up a business and go into direct competition with you for 1/20th of what you charge. It's a global economy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get a competitive advantage? Well, the first step to that is in the area of mindset. And so many people talk about mindset, but I just find that so few people really understand how to go in and really deconstruct a limiting mindset. They just don't. Because people talk about mindset as though, oh, it's kind of like your attitude, it's kind of your decisions about things. It's deeper than that. What's true is that the mind is like a it's like a safe that you have to have the combination to. And if you, so when we talk about resistance, the first resistance that we have in being successful in life and business is really our inner resistance. It's our inner conversation. It's our limiting beliefs. It's our inner conflicts. It's our self-sabotage, right? If you say, you know, for example, I want to make $100,000 a year. I want to make $100,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But internally you don't believe that you're capable of that, then you will reach a certain threshold of financial income, and then you won't go past it. You'll self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look, for example, at, you know, I've coached brothers in the NBA. I've coached, you know, NBA ballers. I call them the tall boys with the balls. I've coached them, and, you know, what happens or with many celebrities that you know, make, they come from the hood, they make, you know, several million dollars, but their psychology doesn't really have, they don't have the psychology to maintain that several million dollars. So once they get it and they have it, they quite often will go back to their own internal thermometer, their own internal set point, their own internal threshold, and they'll find ways, subconsciously, by the way, to squander, to give away, to hook my homies up, to overspend, right? They will go back and they will retreat to their initial financial set point.
Mm-hmm. Just like the lottery winners,
right? It happens.
They
all
do the same thing. Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time. So what that indicates is that it's not, again, your circumstances that is the predictor of whether you can attain to wealth and maintain it. What really is a predictor is what mindset, what is your internal thermostat about how much money you think you deserve,
mm-hmm.
whether you think that there's enough, whether you think that life is hard. Right? These are all lies that have been programmed and conditioned into us by our circumstances, by the media, by the institutions. And so if we're not operating with a mindset that is fully realized, that has been fully vetted, if you will, then we will often retreat to behaviors that are indicative of our internal poverty. So you can maybe get some money, but you will not maintain or sustain it if your mentality is such that you're broke. So that is common, and I see it with entrepreneurs all the time. And so very often when I work with entrepreneurs, what I have to do is I have to keep up-leveling their mindset to keep pace with what they create. So, for example, I work with an entrepreneur who, you know, he came to me and said, you know, I feel fat, I ain't dating, I'm not getting laid, and I'm not in my business, and I just, right? So then we began to do the inner work. I use neuro-linguistic programming, I use hypnosis, I use other advanced methodologies to go in and clear those limitations at the subconscious level, right, to make him congruent with the desires of his heart so that he was internally congruent. So within six sessions, he became like everything he touched turned to gold. He would turn around, there was $250,000 contract here, $500,000 contract here, $1 million contract here. Every time he turned, because once we cleared the limitation, the self-sabotage, his identity, once we up-leveled his identity by going in and clearing it at the subconscious level, Then all of a sudden, he just began to attract and manifest. See, that's the thing that they miss in the whole law of attraction thing. If you are incongruent with what you desire, then you won't attract it, because really your inner self is saying no while your outer self is saying yes. But you can't magnetize because you won't filter for the things that you'll collect evidence for something else. So we changed his game, and then it got to be so crazy with him as the CEO of his company, he had a small company, that his team couldn't keep up. So then I had to go do a retreat with his team. We did a weekend retreat. We busted through all their limitations.
Beautiful.
You know, the stories that they were telling in an organization, I call it headlines, right? When a team has limiting beliefs and they all agree to it and they all co-sign it, so we went in and so the team for the organization and the business operates from that headline. So we went in and we cleared the headline. Well, next thing you know, they're in brand new offices. They're getting awards. They're printing money like crazy. He has hired a chief operating officer. He's brought on 4 new staff people this year. I mean, the business is growing like crazy. So that's just an example of how you have to up-level people's inner game and those inner conflicts, limiting beliefs. And then if you're running an organization, then you have to do the same thing with the team so that they can actually pace with you.
That's right. I have a question, a remark from the chat room. I want to read it. I want to welcome Hadassah, 1965. And this person writes, I just had this conversation with my youngest son, who is so talented but refused to wake up on school. Struggling with him now to think about financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and becoming educated. So that's what this person is saying. So this conversation is on time, and I have no doubt that this person will be sure to download the episode or wake up the son if the son is there now to listen to what you are saying.
Yeah.
Because if we can start them off early, then they will not get to our age and be faced with that. So the key here is to start them early.
Yeah. So what I did with my kids, and it's funny, I'll give a little context of what I do with my kids, and then I'll address the question. I laugh with my kids today. My kids today are 20. Well, they're about to be 21 and 18. So, and as I said, which is crazy, right? And as I said, I got them $1 million in fancy private school education for $25,000. So, in other words, they went to $25,000 a year K-8s. They went to $50,000 a year high schools. And my daughter is now at Wellesley, and she's on a full ride at Wellesley. And so, what I did early in the game is I didn't even know I was doing this. I realized it in retrospect. I created a lane. From their perspective, because the independent school system, the private school system, had so many resources, they were really busy and they got to make a lot of choices about what inspired them. And so they were very busy pursuing the choices because there were so many options. And I would encourage any parent of color that has a diverse background, you know, independent schools are hankering and hungering for qualified, diverse kids of color. And if your child shows the academic chops, they will meet 100% of your demonstrated financial need. And a lot of folks don't know that. They get scared by the sticker price of the school, and they don't realize that they can actually go on full rides.
Right.
That's absolutely right. So I created a lane, and so they were so busy inside of that lane that they thought that they had full choice, but it was inside of a lane of my design and my choosing. Because it looked like they were choosing, and they were in many respects, they didn't have anything to rebel. They didn't have anything to rebel against.
Yes.
They had nothing to. In other words, kids rebel. When they think
you take away their control, yep.
That's absolutely right. But if you offer them a lot of choice inside of a lane, then there's nothing to rebel against. So answer the question, I think, you know, listen, I have a going on 18-year-old boy, and I tell you, inspiring them and helping them get motivated is like the challenge of life, because they're just like,
I don't know. They are different from girls.
Yeah, they're very different. But here's what I would say. In any scenario, because, you know, and I understand that the boys, you know, the prefrontal cortex, which is the rational, strategic, decision-making brain, that doesn't really develop until 25. So if they seem insane, it's because their brains haven't fully developed.
They're still a work in progress.
But part of it is that they have to get a vision. In other words, there has to be something, and we can't impose that upon them. In other words, they have to have something that they aspire to, that they vision for, that excites them, that they're passionate about, and it may not be the thing that the parent wants them to do.
It's
what I call aspirational parenting. I visioned beyond my circumstances, but I visioned with my kids. So we would vision every year, and we would look at what are the things that we need to, what do you want, and how do we get all those things accomplished as a family, as a unit, and how do we go about getting it? So a lot of times there comes resistance, because a lot of kids in this day and age, honestly, they look at the futility of the system, and they're very aware of the futility of the system. In other words, back when, you know, they look at it and they go, is it worth it? And the politics are screwed up and it's rigged and there's no job market and it's rigged. And so in a certain way, what has to begin to happen is we have to begin to look at options that are outside perhaps of traditional traditional construct. Like my son's still going to go to college, but we're looking into things like he's kind of a talented DJ potentially. And there are DJs that make $250,000 per gig.
That's
Ibiza.
Right. I just learned that a few months ago. I had no idea that they had a school for DJ where people are going to learn and that they are making this mocha money. I had no idea.
Right. So we have to begin to look at the overall terrain of what's really available that's outside of the older construct. In other words, social media and the flattening of communication and, you know, just the trends that are happening, there are places and spaces inside of that where a child can be perfectly, perfectly excited and happy and passionate. And I think increasingly in this generation, they are less tolerant of things that are not going to make them happy. In other words, they didn't come up in the era where we're just going to work at a job and expect to get a retirement, because that era is gone. So
it's gone.
It's time to focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone a long time ago. So, and they know it. So rather than focus on, rather than engage your child in a way that creates resistance, find the thing help them find the vision for themselves that's going to pull them toward where they're going to pull themselves towards its fulfillment. But you've got to get creative, and you have to help them get excited, and you have to help them find the things. And that has to be, I think, sort of the direction of parenting. It's you're leading, but you're also letting them lead, and you're letting them lead with passion, and then you're helping them figure out the ways they can make it viable.
Yes, and I think parents need to go back to kind of old school where families used to sit around the table and talk. Now
yes.
I find out that parents nowadays, they are doing all the talking and they are not listening to their children, because if you listen to them, you're going to learn where their intentions are leading. And although it might not be what you wanted, because I've had this conversation with parents that their unfulfilled dreams and desires, they are putting pressure on their children to fulfill those dreams and desires, and it's not fair to the kids. So listen and support them. And yes, if they fall down, give them a shoulder to cry on without reprimanding them, and just be there for them.
Well, I think it even goes beyond that. I mean, I think we have to be so flexible. You know, I help my kids troubleshoot problems.
Mm-hmm.
Even when my daughter went off to college, you know, she was so busy in her academic life, you know, at a young age, that there were certain kind of life skills that she never had to really manage, and all of a sudden she's on her own. And so, you know, I would get on the phone with her. I'd do a three-way call to the doctor or whatever, and I'd be like, well, the 18-year-old's on the phone, so she's authorized, but I'm the mama that wants to get it done in a phone call. Right? And so... Right, we gotta get, because she would just get stabbed by that stuff, because she's like, I don't understand, they said they called me back. She'd get stabbed. So I had to model for her real time, this is how you get it done, this is how you take charge, this is how you drive a result, this is how you, this is how you bring a hammer, this is how you strategically, so I think that we have to be models of troubleshooting, helping them solve their real problems, whatever the real problems are that they're faced with, helping them solve their real problems.
And the other piece to this, Veronica, is that some of the parents nowadays are not capable of doing that. And they should not be ashamed to ask for help, because if you find yourself in a community, there is somebody in that community that have what you don't have. So we don't need to suffer where we have shortcomings. We need to be bold enough to ask for help.
Well, when my daughter was applying to private high school, private colleges, and my son was applying to private high schools, and they were going to, we'd apply to 8 goals in 90 days. And I built a team around my daughter. I built a virtual village that was loved ones, it was family, it was experts. We had conference calls, and she led her. If you want to see an example of this, you can go to jordan-conway.com. It's jordan-conway.com, and that's the website that we used to get her into college. We also had a back-end portal where we shared best practices and all of the resources and people. You know, if somebody was going to New York, and they'd stop by Columbia University, and they'd talk to the folks in financial aid, and they'd talk about, she had advocacy. So I built a, you can build a virtual team around your kid and, you know, just ask people to contribute an hour a month or whatever and get, you know, and raise the village, because that's what it takes. Because it's so, the complexity of what it takes to get, you know, into top schools and all that, it's fairly complex. So I was exhausted and tired and living in my pajamas, and so I built a team. I did what I knew how to do, which is, how do I build a virtual team? So we can do that.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And a lot of people is not doing it because of pride and everything like that. And that's why they're not growing, you know? So
I need the most help. That's just the stand that I've taken. I need the most help.
That's right.
Yeah,
and you know,
that's
too bad if I ask you for help and you say no, that's all right. I'll just move on to the next person.
I am going to keep asking.
I want to remind the people on the telephone, call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. And if you're in the chat room, go ahead and write your questions. I hope that answered your question. All right, we have a call, and I'm going to take this call. Ms. Veronica, if you just hold the line.
All right.
Hello, caller. Your last 4 digits are 9602. Would you please state your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm Hadassah in the chat. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Oh. Hey, Hadassah, how are you?
Hi.
Thanks for taking the time for calling in.
Thank you for having the show.
You're very welcome.
You know, as I mentioned, you know, I'm trying to motivate my children. I have one son that's in high school, and I have two other sons. And I can see that they're three young men, all at three different levels, and each of their situations are unique. But I kind of see where they are in their lives right now, all three of them. I've been there at some point in time. My greatest concern right now is my younger one, because he's still in high school. And it's an unfortunate situation, only because we cannot afford at this point for him to go to a private school. He had 1 year in a private high school. It was costing me over $11,000 a year. And I had to withdraw him and unfortunately put him in our local high school. And he's floundering right now. The thing is, he happens to be one of those kids that are very good athletically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like a prodigy in terms of athletics. But he's
right.
in an environment where education is not fostered, is not nurtured, and it's not
right.
cool. So
right.
now I'm competing in a full
right.
a full-scale attack with that mindset of just getting
right.
over, getting by. And I know
right.
what it is because I teach and work in the same system,
mm.
and I fight those
right.
same elements every day.
Mm.
But at this point,
okay.
his peers are winning in the war.
Mm.
As a parent, I could tell you I've modeled the behavior that I know that he needs to do well in terms of academics, in terms of, you know, aspiring to do greater, in terms of reading, in terms of writing,
mm-hmm.
in terms of studying. But I'm still
mm-hmm.
competing with that unwritten rule that permeates our urban communities. You know,
so
if, you
how,
ask,
yeah.
if you ask him and his peers what do they want to be when they grow up, the first thing that's coming out of his mouth now, and it blew my mind because I actually heard it from my own kid, I want to go to the league. And that's something
what?
That he wants to
I'm
go
sorry.
To the league. He wants to be an NBA player or NFL, or, you know, and that bothers me because I knew for many years that I started to see that if you ask the average young, you know, minority male what he want to do, either he want to be a professional ball player or a rapper. That's the majority answers that we would get from the young kids nowadays. Because I think that's...
Okay.
Let's get stick up in at where you are, Jackie. Let's
okay.
get feedback because you have said a lot here. Let
mm-hmm.
us get some feedback from Veronica because she has two African American kids and she secure money for them and everything like that. So let's get some feedback
yeah.
from Veronica and then we carry on.
I'm sorry. So what grade is your son in?
He's a sophomore.
Okay.
10th grade.
Yeah. And so if you could wave a realistic magic wand, what's the thing that would need, what do you know is the most damaging impact to him?
He's not surrounded by people that think it's cool to be smart.
Right, right, right. So you have a choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice
I'm looking for that help.
Right,
because
but I'm saying...
He said something
have,
to me the other day.
You have a, right, but I'm saying you have a choice to make.
I want to get him out of here.
Okay. Right.
I just don't have the financial means at this point. I mean, I really don't. I'm
Jackie.
Looking for
but,
it.
That's exactly the point. What I'm saying is, we have to this is inner game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do the deeper work of deconstructing that lie that you can't find the resources to change your condition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We just have
okay.
to do the inner. There is a deeper inner work. You see, because we become identified with our circumstances, and we come to think of them as real, and we come to think of ourselves at the effect of them, when
okay.
the truth is that you are fully at choice. You don't feel like you're at choice because circumstances tell you that you can't do XYZ. I was a single mom with very little help from my children's father, and I had to deconstruct any internal back of mind belief, hesitation, that I couldn't decide to create exactly the right scenario for my children. And that required me doing inner work first.
Okay.
I had to say who told me that lie that I couldn't put the money together? Who told, like, where did I come to believe that? And that's what the inner work is about. Because quietness kept, the truth is that because your son is in a state of emergency, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the power, because we all do, to change that condition. But it's a decision and it's a choice. And no one can make it but you.
May I interject? Jackie, where is your
mm-hmm.
son now?
He's not here right now. He went to
okay.
a friend's
house. I was going to tell you to put him on the phone. Okay.
No, I'm going to definitely
go
let
ahead.
Him listen. I really wish he was here at the point because I know my kid, and just recently he started to open up a little, and he admit that where he was going to school before was a better situation. He just kind of like convinced himself that, well, he just wanted to come back here to play ball or whatever. And I said to him, it's more than that. I said, because look, you went to a private school where they had the facilities. They had, you know, you were surrounded by different groups, different people from different socioeconomic backgrounds. And, I mean, I had another son who went there who thrived in that environment, and he's my most ambitious child. You know, he went through his struggles. Sometimes
kids can actually be impacted, but this is something that I had to do with my kids, which is because they were going to school with the Lucases and the Redfords grandkids, and the, and so the wealth gap between, you know, me as a single mom and an entrepreneur and what they were seeing when they would go to their peers' houses was astonishing. And
right.
so keeping part of the psychology of that as a parent is keeping their identity shored up enough around circumstances that look more advantaged than theirs and helping
right.
them maintain their identity, because sometimes they'll default to something that's more comfortable because
right.
it's challenging to have
that
disparity in the socioeconomic. Right.
I think that's what he did year one.
Right.
Because I am looking to, and I appreciate your constructive criticism in terms of, you know, what I can do, because I do believe that I can turn the situation around for him. You know,
yeah.
I do, because he went year one to a school that I appreciate the school. One of my other sons went there, and he did well. And it did cost us a lot of money, but it molded him into a different type of person. He doesn't gravitate
right.
to the negativity in
right.
our community.
Right.
He doesn't
because
even want
a,
to identify with it.
Because right,
right.
because it's a lane. It's a lane,
right.
and nothing gets inside the lane.
Right.
right, they just are busy inside the lane. But sometimes kids can, if the parent isn't having conversations about the social economic issues, about
mm-hmm.
that, then they and checking in and constantly taking the temperature about whether or not the kid feels whole in spite of the, and you know, doesn't feel disadvantaged by the wealth gap. Right.
right.
It's very important to help them maintain that as an identity and to be on the lookout for the places where they back into default and where you co-sign it.
Right.
Because they're telling you it's something else.
Right. I know. I think now if we turn the tables and he go back in that environment again, I think
mm-hmm.
he would begin to appreciate it more.
Great.
At this point.
Great.
Because now he see I went from one end to another extreme. And then now I'm back where I could have remained from day one. I want him to be
yeah.
hungry for it the next time around.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he has to know within himself, because you would have to be blind not to see the stark differences. You know, you would have to be.
Right.
I'm looking for the information that could be out there. I heard you mention independent schools. I happen
yeah.
to live into
yeah.
a state where they were entertaining the whole idea of the opportunity scholarships and things of that nature. But it's usually based upon income. And because, you know, I'm considered a middle income with two family wage earners, we normally don't qualify, although we qualify in terms of our real incomes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
okay.
struggle like everyone else.
Yeah, I want to say something here, and then I'm going to go back to Veronica. Because, Jackie, one of the things, too, that I think needs to happen is that you need to be having a conversation with your son.
Mm-hmm.
Bring him in the mix and let him be part of the dialogue that's taking place. I don't know what stage you came on the show, listen, and started to listen, that Veronica mentioned, and I'm sure she probably will repeat it, there are many avenues where money is untapped, but we are just, most of the African-American parents, they just look at this place and they just stop and think it's the end all.
Well, you know, initially when I came on the show, I was actually, my parents are West Indian. I was actually born in England but raised here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I watched my parents, I watched my mother, you know, leave her career in England as a nurse and come here and work from housework, nurse's aide, the whole nine yards. My father doing construction and, you know, manual labor to eventually owning their own businesses. And, you know, they were in real estate. They had, you know, things that I aspired to do at this point in my life, because I realized that even I think I settled. And maybe that might be the thing that's holding my kids up, because I settled in a public job, you know, just getting by. And I know deep down my manifestation is an entrepreneur, a woman who's doing and making moves, you know, because
I'm gonna intrude
okay.
with what you and what you're saying. So understand that we often set up an imprint in a vibration in our household. And so if you have set up an imprint in the family dynamic, and this has all happened, this is in the subconscious. This is the water in which we swim. When we settle, then sometimes depending on our kids' personality, they subconsciously internalize that, and then they begin to settle.
Right.
So
I
understand
did,
that
I did,
what
I
we
did
imprint.
Settle.
Yeah.
Jackie,
right.
I did settle.
Let her
I'm
finish
sorry.
So you can get all the facts. Some important points are being said that you're missing. Just jot down what you want to say, but let her finish. Go ahead, Veronica.
So we can't be more addicted to our story than we are to the truth.
Okay.
We have to be a stand for the truth. And so whenever we're looking at what we're modeling for our children, we have to look at ourselves. And what the choices that we've made, and we have to look at the choices that we make and how they are impacting them. So if you develop a story called "I don't have enough money and I have to settle," then on some level, the subconscious level, he's internalizing that. I'm going to make a recommendation a little bit later in the show about a little program that I have, and I'm not doing this just to sell the program. I'm doing it because I think it would really benefit you. I have other parents out there that are listening to this program with their kids, and it's really supporting them. It's called the Black Mastery Success Program, and you go to blackmastery.com. It's $200, but it's a program that helps you clear limiting beliefs. So for him, he may have some limiting beliefs about whether he can really perform in that school, and he's got some inner conflicts. You have some limiting beliefs and inner conflicts. I've had families go in with the Black Mastery Program and mastermind with it. In other words, I believe in being a masterminding family. Clearing out the limiting beliefs and the back of mind hesitations and conflicts that you have, getting a vision that you can align around as a family, and then developing a work plan around it. Now, the reason the Black Mastery Program works is because I bring together like neuro-linguistic programming. It's basically a reprogramming program.
Okay.
And so when I've had families go in and begin to work with it with their family, I mean, they just start to get amazing results. So they, you know, the dad stops procrastinating, the son stops procrastinating, like that, and they decide to do this as a family. It is a time to interrupt the pattern and the imprint that you've laid down around settling, and the imprint that he's laid down from what he's hearing in the culture of his school, and to make some new decisions. And that's a little program that it's worth its weight in gold in terms of helping you reprogram your mind to not be in this whole story that you're in about I don't have enough money, and he's like, it's like, because you have the power to shift this. You have the power to shift this. It becomes hard to shift it when you are communicating and operating from a position of I've settled. Because what I've settled underneath I've settled is the limiting belief there's not enough and life is hard and you have to compromise. And so if you can begin to rearrange that at the subconscious level of your mind, then you can set a better direction for yourself and for him.
And I intend to do it. You know, it's like I am going to do it. The thing is, you know, I'm not the only parent. And, you know, I think pretty much my hardest sell would be my husband. Really.
Mm-hmm.
My hardest sell would be my husband. And, I mean, he's a provider. He's a worker. You understand? I think completely different, and I want my children to think the way that I think, because to me, I remember reading Nathan McCall's book, It's Okay to Lead a Plantation.
Yeah.
You ever read that book?
No.
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, I believe that we have everything within us to do all that we can do, and we should want to do it. When I said I know that I settled, it was because I became complacent because I was trying to keep it all together. But I have reached that tipping point now where it can't work anymore.
Right. Good.
I refuse to let it work anymore. So I intend to look into your program. I intend to go back and even listen to some of the archives, because I actually was just surfing when I ran across the show, and I can't remember what
I... Yeah, I know you're a first-timer. I recognize that.
Right. I can't remember what it was that caught my attention, and I just started to listen, but I know it wasn't no mistake.
Okay.
Right.
No, it was no mistake. But I am going to look at the program, because I definitely some things that he said to me let me know that he's getting to that place now.
Right, they always do, because they're often very honest. If you give them this, if you give them the space to be honest, they will
not
they
me.
Will surface
it's
the,
not
the
none
real
of
truth.
Because I don't this, and to be honest with you, I believe his gifts will make room for him, because he is good in sports. And he's a fine young man. He just has the wrong people around him right now. And I have I have allowed myself to remain victimized by being around the wrong people as well. I know what that
is.
There
it is.
Hold on, Jackie.
I want you to because you keep repeating the story, and the more that you repeat it,
the more you continue
to be victimized by it.
Okay.
It's time to march. The more you reinforces your victim's posture.
Okay.
It's time to do something different. You have a choice.
Okay.
Fair? Is that fair?
I got you. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Right. Thank you for calling in, Jackie. I hope this will not be your first and only time.
No.
So
what time
back,
do
you
come
know,
on?
Mark it. Mark the show favorite and follow me, and then you will get announcements. We are on Wednesdays. Regular time is Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And Sundays at 7 p.m. to, 7 to 8:30 or something like that. But if you mark it favorite, you'll get the pop-up every time I have the show and who will be on and what we are going to be talking about. So I look forward to hearing you call back to tell us about the end result of the Black Mastery.
Okay. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you very much for taking the time to call in.
No problem. I needed this. Nothing is a mistake.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's why we're here, Jackie. That's why what I do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And you can continue listening. If you have more questions, call in, and you can still write in the box below.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to the computer.
Okay. All right. Wonderful.
Thank you, love.
Thank you. If you're just joining, my honored guest is none other than Veronica Conway. Now, if you've been listening for the past approximately 1 hour and, 10 minutes or something like that, you realize why they call her the secret weapon. Well, Miss Veronica, we are done, and I know that... we had planned on just the first 60 minutes, but we only have 26 minutes remaining, and I know you have other things to talk about. So,
I have a few. So then I just want to point to the interaction that we just had with Jackie.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of where, you know, a place where mindset is in conflict with desire. And that feeling of powerlessness that I talked about earlier in the show, because oftentimes when we our beliefs are the water in which we swim, and we don't actually see the we don't see anything outside of it because we're just swimming in the water, right? So that's where we have to begin to go in and deconstruct the beliefs that stop us from realizing that we have choices and realizing that we can raise the money and realizing that, I mean, there are a million ways to raise $11,000 a year. There just are. You know, and you can't tell me that in this day and age with Indiegogo and all the different platforms, but we have to begin to think about some things differently and not decide to be a victim of our circumstances. But also often we are just running around being that without having anyone come in and intervene with that, interrupt that pattern so that we can see a different level of possibility. So I always say, you know, the mind is a dangerous workshop, you know, playground. Don't go in alone, boys and girls, right? Like, it's like you have to have the support to go from someone that's qualified that can go in and support you in deconstructing and dismantling all of the stories that you tell yourself that keep you hostage. And because we just run around with no real feedback, no mirror, then we just come to assume that the beliefs that we have are true, and then we continue to tolerate them in terms of the circumstances. So it's really important that we begin to understand that everything is possible if we get congruent with it in our mind. And so when we talk about the resistance, we have our first step towards being successful in life and being successful in business is removing that inner resistance. In other words, I could have told myself the story because I didn't have a supportive husband. And, you know, he gave me $300 a month in child support. I mean, that was crazy. And I raised my kids in one of the most expensive counties in the country. And it wasn't because anybody was helping me or I was making a lot of money. It really happened because I decided that it was going to be so. And then any place where I felt like victimized or felt afraid, I had to go in and do the inner work to deconstruct that. So that I believed in the possibility of what I was doing, and it was a constant process. It's a constant process. I am constantly in my own lab. And my clients that really succeed, we are constantly in the lab up-leveling their mindset. Because with every new challenge and every new opportunity, see, it's funny, we always think that we just want all the opportunities. The opportunities can be just as disruptive and intimidating as the difficulties that we have in life. In other words, what happens when you have to face signing $1 million contract or $2 million contract, or you get a $50,000 client? Up pops all of those back of mind fears that have told us that we couldn't do it and that we can't have it and that we're not good enough, there's not enough, and that you don't deserve it, all that. So our opportunities can be met with just as much as resistance as our challenges.
That's right.
And so we think it's all golden if we get that big offer. But I challenge you, because what I find when I work with folks is that the more success they get, the more they have to continue to keep their mind oriented and free of the bugs and the viruses of a limited belief set. It's the most important thing, because if they don't do it, they will sabotage those big gigs. They will sabotage it. You will sabotage it. That's how you are. That's how we are.
Yes,
right?
And so, that's how we are programmed. They are to keep popping up back to tell us, oh, no, you can't. Who tells
and
you
if we
you
don't,
can
and if we don't, And if we don't have somebody looking at our game with a professional eye, then we'll default back to that posture without even knowing that we've done it. Because like Jackie was saying, she's like, but this is what's true. I can't make a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was all about what was happening to her son and her. That's the pattern that she was in. And so when you're in that, you can't see beyond it to know that there's another set of opportunities and that you're in control of those.
Mm-hmm,
so it's
mm-hmm.
really important. This mindset game is the game. It is the game. There is no other game. You get this handled, you get it handled. I just hired a $50,000 a year mentor.
Wonderful.
And, you know, and I'm pretty bold, but I think I'm kind of badass, and I think, you know, I've done my inner work and I got my stuff together. And yet, when I entered into his arena, where people are making $100,000 a month, $700,000 a month, right, at first I had resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to do things the way I was used to doing them, and the way that I was used to doing them was getting me the level of result that it was getting. It was not getting me $100,000 a month.
That's
or $500,000
right.
A month or
$700,000
a month. Right. And so I had to deal with my own resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gives a metaphor, and it's a beautiful metaphor. He says, you know, we say we want to make this recipe of let's say we want to make a filet mignon with mashed potatoes. And then we go into our refrigerator, and we find the whipped cream, and we find the cottage cheese, and we find the can of sardines, and we find tomato paste, and we find all of these old ingredients that we've collected along the way, but none of them can be used in the making of filet mignon.
Nope. That's right.
Brian?
Jackie wrote, she wrote in the room to say thanks for helping her to redirect her mind and to focus.
You're welcome, Jackie. It's my honor.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yes.
So we
can't
create a new vision with old beliefs. We can't create
old
a new
beliefs,
vision
that's right.
with old things. And we have this resistance because we wanna hang on to what we believe and yet experience something different. And it's just not possible. It's just not
that's
possible.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's
so
right.
This is the work. And so first there's that inner resistance that we have to overcome. And then if we are either in family and relationship or we are in a business, right, then we have to find tools for shifting other people's resistance. So if you're in a business, then you have to find a way to lessen your customers' or your prospects' resistance, right, so that they will purchase from you and so that they will continue to be your customer, right? Or
you have to
lower the resistance on your team. Or if you're in a family and you want a healthy, functioning family, you have to lower the resistance of your children so that they are in alignment with you. That even if, right, that you create a scenario where there is alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of, you know, so our skills of influence and creating less resistance for other people is really, really something that we have to do. So we have to overcome our inner resistance, and then we have to overcome other people's resistance to be successful in life and business.
And the other thing I want to piggyback on, when Jackie had said that her hardest sell is going to be her husband. And I don't think she necessarily need to sell her husband, as she does need to step into action and do the work in herself and take her son and do the work in her, help
Correct.
Her son to do the work. Because
Correct.
Nothing is going to speak volume more than when the husband sees the result in
the
her.
The change. That's absolutely
the
right.
The change. And
right.
she won't have to sell him. He's going to be
right.
asking her what is happening. So that's the difference there. We try to...
Yeah, I learned not to ask for permission. I asked for forgiveness.
That's right. Exactly.
Ask
that
for
is
forgiveness.
Powerful. Don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness. And we as women, we spend too much time asking for permission instead of carrying on and doing what it is that we know needs to get done. And we just need to do it. And, you know, don't wait around. Don't convince. Just do what it is and let the result speak for itself.
Right.
My ex-husband
was very, he just didn't understand this private school thing. He didn't understand my vision. It's one of the reasons that he's my ex. But happily, like I'm totally cool with that. I'm totally cool with that. We just didn't have the same vision, and I wasn't going to drag someone along.
You can't.
That when I saw a bigger playing field, I just knew in my bones. And so part of what we have to do, part of the resistance that we have to overcome is the resistance to live our truth.
That's right.
And let the chips fall, and let the chips fall where they may. And let the chips fall where they may. Right?
Exactly. I've come to realize that once you make the decision to live your truth, you know, and embrace it, it becomes lonely. But that's the price you have to pay. Because if you continue to run your own race and stay in your own lane, you know the sacrifices and the commitments that you have to make. You can't let other people's feelings about what you are doing deter you from your greatness.
Correct.
Well, can you imagine? We only have 15 minutes and 23 seconds remaining.
I know. It's amazing.
Oh, thou
it goes fast.
Oh, yes,
it goes fast.
It really, really and truly go fast. So for those of you out there who still have a question, call in. This is your time. Jackie's still typing. She probably has something else to say. But I want you to get ready to let's tie up Veronica, and I want you to give people your information at the end of your summary. And it is always an honor to, you know, be in conversation and to be in your company. It's always a blessing.
Thank you. It's always a blessing for me to be in your company. Thank you.
There's something else I forgot was to mention to you. I'm going to call you when I get off the air to tell you what it is before I forget again. So go ahead. You have the mic for your summary and to tell folks how to find you and all of that great thing.
Yeah. So I would just say to anybody that's listening that, you know, it's your time. And, you know, sort of spiritually, it's, you know, if you're looking at the way things are sort of rolling out here spiritually and energetically, this is really the time, I think, to make some change. And so the thing is that it's, you know, I'm not much of an astrology buff, but I have paid attention to, there's this cardinal grand cross that people keep talking about, like the world's going to end. What it really means is that spiritually and energetically and astrologically and all these, it's time for change. There's a huge opportunity out here for those that are willing to step up and be bold. And so there's no lack of money, and there's no lack of access, and there's no lack of anything, but it is a choice. And so if you have a sense that there's something more for you and that there's something deeper for you and there's something more fulfilling for you that's available to you, but you just can't quite figure out how to access it, I would say that the blinders are on the inside of your eyes, that we often carry these blinders about what's possible on internally in terms of our beliefs, in terms of our inner stories and our inner conflicts. So I would say, you know, no matter what, it is up to you. It is your responsibility to do that work.
That's right.
With me, like if you want to go get the Black Mastery Program and get, you know, for a couple of $100, you can go a long way towards doing that work. You can do a long way towards doing that work because, like I said, the mindset is really the last frontier. If you get control of that, you can actually cause so many things into existence. I can't even tell you how much success and power that people get when they deconstruct those back of mind thoughts and conflicts that are holding them back. So if you are in the position of like, you know, I'm almost getting it, and I'm almost doing it, and I almost, you know, and you just feel like you can't, it's something still missing. I would challenge you, I would invite you to look at what you believe. I would challenge you to look at what you believe, and I would challenge you to look at the stories that you have. So one way to do this is just a bit of an exercise is, you know, take a piece of paper out and say, you know, here's what I want. You know, and maybe the top three things that you want, you know, a thriving business, a happy, successful family, and, you know, a happy relationship. And then, you know, and then the things that are in the way of that, what stops me from having that is, and then just let yourself take pen to paper and let yourself really give yourself permission to surface all of the, because whatever comes out of that is your story about why you can't have it. And that story is the thing that's holding your future hostage. That story that those, you know, you either have results or you have reasons. You either have a story about something or you either have results or you have a story about why you can't have them. And so when we take pen to paper, then we begin to surface all of those back of mind hidden stories and conflicts that we have about why we can't have something. And so if you realize that you have a lot of limiting beliefs, then I challenge you to find a way to dismantle those. So the Black Mastery Program is one way that you can do that. That's at www.blackmastery.com. www.blackmastery.com. For those entrepreneurs who are really serious about taking their game to the next level, and when I say game to the next level, I mean we're talking, you know, multiple five figures, multiple six figure next level, because that's sort of the level of power that I'm talking about. I am offering strategy sessions for entrepreneurs that want to spend an hour of private time with me, just kind of getting clear about what's in the way. I'm only interested in entrepreneurs that are serious about taking their game to the next level, that are able to make decisions, that they are so fed up and they are so ready to move to the next level of power that they know that they've had enough, and that are really serious. Because I if you're a tinkerer or it's a kind of a bit of a hobby business, and I'm probably not the chick for you, because we're on about building serious businesses here, big businesses, not big, but profitable. And so if you want to register for that and you're serious and you're committed and you know you're ready to take it to the next level, then you can go to veronicaconway.com/strategy, veronicaconway.com/strategy. Dabblers need not apply. And you can fill out a form there. And if it seems like you're a right fit to have a strategy session, then we will proceed and I'll reach out and get you, we'll get scheduled. So you can, so blackmastery.com, veronicaconway.com/strategy. I'm going to be revamping all of my websites and all that kind of good stuff. So, but in the meanwhile, if you want to get updates from me, you can go to theblackpaper.com. That's theblackpaper.com. You can get updates from me there. And other than that, I'm going to be completely revamping all my websites and all my stuff to kind of be in alignment with what the next steps are.
Yeah.
So that's how you can get me.
Well, I tell you, we use it up down to the wire. I want to thank you so much, my sister, for coming and spending this quality time with me this Easter Sunday. What better dessert? Baked pie. I tell you something. There is no pecan pie or any sweet potato pie that or cheesecake that line up to this that we gave you here this evening. And I am so excited that we spend this time. So remember, go to blackmastery.com and Veronica Conway strategy to sign up for the, if you think that you are ready to get out of your own way, that's where you can go to sign up to get an hour of time of consultation with her. And check her out on Facebook and every place else, she's there. So you want to know what's happening. And remember, you can download this episode and listen to it over and over and over and over and share it with other people. And again, I want to remind you all to donate to the Breakfast Feeding Program by visiting http://www.gofundme.com/1g4m38. We are depending on you to provide a hot breakfast for these children at the Carmel School in Jamaica. So go there and support us. And again, it's an honor that you took the time to listen here. We are winding down. Keep the emails coming in. And if you have questions for Veronica that you didn't get to ask, you can, you know, send them to me. I'll get them to her, or you can send them to her during her website. And you call her, let her know you heard her on here. And, you know, give us feedback, because we want to know that the work we are doing here is not just going on soil that is not producing. We want to know the results that you are getting. So let us hear from you, and continue to enjoy your Easter Sunday. Jackie, thank you for calling in. And we know that you're going to have a great testimony after you do everything you need to do. You're going to call back here and just share with others the great results. So Again, as always, I want you to remember that you are born for greatness. So let us get rid of all of the limiting beliefs. The time is now for you to take action. You heard it here first, that we are now into the last frontier, which is our mind. So why not step up to the boldness line where we can take action and get the results that we deserve? If it is to be, it is up to us. We cannot keep telling the stories that has not served us well. There are stories to be told, but they are the ones that will help to transform life. This is all from me right now, and I will see you again on Wednesday. So long, and follow your destiny.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. Trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
feeling. Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations.